In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. We worship a God who is triune, one God in three divine persons. What makes the difference between the God who is and was and is to come as compared to the gods of the Hittites, the Amorites, and all the other ites? Our God, ACTS, acts in human history. We see him bringing the Israelites through the Red Sea. He acts in human history. He feeds them with manna. They receive water from the rock. He is the God who acts. He is not a God who sits on a throne and doesn't act, but he acts in human history. And finally, his full revelation is in Jesus, and he acts in Jesus. And we see what Jesus did. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He cast out demons. The God that we worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the God who acts. I'm reading from Deuteronomy 4, verse 32 to 40. Moses said to the people, "Ask now of the days of old before your time, ever since God created man upon the earth. Ask from one end of the sky to the other. Did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God?" You see, they heard the voice of God, God acting in human history. "Speaking from the midst of the fire, as you did and live. Or did any God venture to go and take a nation for himself?" And we see that that's exactly what God did. He took the nation of Israel for himself, and he took the church for himself. "From the midst of another nation, by testings, by signs, by wonders." We see that God is the God of testing, the God of signs, the God of wonders. "With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, by great terrors, all of which God, your God, did for you in Egypt." Yes, we remember how they left Egypt. They put blood on the lintels, and the angel of death passed over. The God of the Israelites, the God of the church, is the God who acts, ACTS, in human history. "I said to the people on Sunday, everyone one day or another is going to need a miracle. We all, one day or another, are going to need a miracle. And God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the God of miracles and the God of wonders." Oh yes, he is. But you see, our faith needs to be intact in order to get the miracle. We need to believe without wavering that God will provide the miracle. Before your very eyes, this is why you must now know and fix in your heart that the Lord is God in the heavens above and on the earth below, and that there is no other. That's right, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "You must keep his statutes and commandments that I enjoin on you today, that you and your children after you may prosper, and that you may have long life on the land, Israel, which the Lord your God is giving you forever." So the God of the Hebrews and the God of the church is the God who moves and who acts in human history. The coming of Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary is the epitome of God acting, sending his Son to dwell in the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought forth on Christmas. We see God is not a God who thinks, but a God who acts in history. He is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. I heard yesterday that there was a miracle many years ago. I didn't find this out until yesterday. The man came to the healing service, and he had vertigo. And he said to the person that spoke with me, "Father Tom just looked at me, and the vertigo left." Now, it wasn't Father Tom. It was Jesus. It was Jesus in my eyes. He says, "I've never had vertigo since." I don't know if you ever had vertigo. It's kind of a very crazy disease that the world spins before you. So we see God as the God who acts, who does, who enters human history. He is not the God of the philosophers. He is the God of the Bible. He is the God of the church. The second reading that we were given is Romans 8, 14 through 17. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Are you a son of God? Are you led by the Spirit of God? I pray that today this broadcast is led by the Spirit of God, because I know that as I am led by the Spirit of God, I am a son of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. God has nothing to do with fear and torment. God has nothing to do with fear and torment. But you received a spirit of adoption, to whom we cry, Abba, Father. Means Daddy, Father, that we call God Daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with Him. What is the suffering? It is persecution. It is not cancer. Where does cancer come from? I'm telling you, it's not from God. But we need to do the best thing that we need to do. Go to the best doctors and go to people that are praying. We have a young woman who called me today, who came on Saturday, and she asked me to pray again for her, who she has a certain kind of cancer. We need to go to the best doctors and people who pray. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with Him, so that we may be glorified with Him. Yes, the apostles suffered persecution, and it led them out of Jerusalem to the whole world. And then we have the gospel that of the Most Holy Trinity. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw Him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." What did Jesus tell us to do? Go and make disciples, then baptize. Now, we have been baptizing without making disciples. A disciple sits at the feet of the Master, as we saw Mary of Bethany sitting at the feet of Jesus in Bethany. She's a disciple. She was a woman. The first woman disciple was Mary of Bethany. Yes, God calls us to make disciples of all nations. Billy Graham said if he had to live his life over again, he would make disciples rather than be just an evangelist. He would make disciples of people. Jesus calls us to make disciples of people. And that means we have an influence in people's lives. I have made several disciples, and it's all because of God. It's not because of me. It's what God did in me and to me and through me that other people saw. And they wanted it, and they got it. And some of them have got it more than me, and that's wonderful. that God calls us not to just bring people to the new birth, but he calls people to be disciples of all nations. Now, I know of a man, I've never met him. He was saved in the church, but he doesn't go to church anymore. But he was saved. I'm telling you, if you're saved, then you need to go and be instructed. And not only instructed, but the scripture says, do not forsake the assembly. We need to be in the church. That's why people come to Holy Rosary, to hear the word of God, thanks be to God, and to celebrate the Eucharist. I'm looking at John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. That means we have a say if our hearts are troubled or not. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's how you get peace, by surrendering your life to the Father and surrendering your life to Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yes, that's what he says and that's what he means. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you also may be. Jesus is going to make a place for you. Do you understand that? That's real. That there is a house in heaven waiting for you, a mansion in heaven waiting for you if you are a believer. Jesus said that he was going to do it. And he tells us to fear not, because fear is useless. We are only to trust God and to trust Jesus, that whither I go, you know, and you know the way. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. This is so important, that nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way to the Father. He is the only way to the Father. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. And people say, well, that's not fair. Well, I'm going to tell you it's about being fair. Holy Rosary is on Shirley Street. The only way to get to Holy Rosary is to come on Shirley Street. It's not fair, but it's true. Of course it's fair. It's the way to do it. God says the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, the Paschal mystery. Oh yes, that's the only way to the Father, is through Jesus Christ. Do you hear that today? Do you know that today? That the only way to the Father is through Jesus. You know, Buddha on his deathbed said, I still seek the truth. It's all about Jesus. This world is all about Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, yes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. We thank you, God, that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from hence you know him, and you have seen him. Philip said unto Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. Jesus said unto Philip, have I been with you so long a time, and yet you do not know me? Philip, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. Why? Because Jesus is made of the same stuff of the Father. He is the Father's only Son. He is the Father's only Son. To see Jesus is to see the imprint of the Father. He is the fullness of grace, the fullness of life, the fullness of truth, the fullness of divinity. He is the Lord. To gaze at the face of Jesus is to know the Father, because you cannot know Jesus without the Father. The Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in the Son will not perish but have eternal life. Philip, if you see me, you see the Father. Have you ever seen a child and his father? They look alike. They look alike. The spitting image of the child is the father, or the spitting image of the child is the mother. Jesus is the image of the one true God. To see Jesus is to see the Father. Is Jesus the Father? No, Jesus is not the Father. He leads us to the Father. How does He lead us to the Father? Through His death, burial, and resurrection. Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me and does the works that I do. I'm telling you, Jesus did the miracles and wonders by revelation that the Father told him, you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this. Jesus worked by revelation. We prayed with the man in Arizona, and I really felt the Lord saying God was going to heal this man of blindness. They brought this man, his name is Eric, they brought him to us, and Priscilla and I prayed with him for 3 days, and he regained some of his sight back. He could see nothing on the first day. On the third day, he was seeing things that were written down, things that were in the Bible, numbers that were over the house. He was able to see. On the first day, he said, I could not see your features, but after you prayed for me, I could see your nose, your eyes, and that you wear glasses. That's the first day. He was not completely healed. If I told you he was completely healed, I'd be a liar. He was not completely healed, but he had a degree of healing. We saw it together, and we rejoiced in it, that God did this wonderful act. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very works that I do. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father, my Lord. Jesus promises us that on the night before he dies, that the one who believes in him will do the works that he does, and greater still. Why? Because he goes to the Father. Does Jesus mean this? He means this. You know, I want to do the works of Jesus. He opened the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf. He cleansed the lepers. I want to do the works of Jesus. And Jesus said, greater still. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm on the radio right now, and you're able to hear me in different places. Is this greater still? It's Jesus' work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was at one place and one time. I'm here in my house, and you are listening to me where you are. Some of you are listening in Washington, D.C. Some of you in St. Louis. Some of you in Arizona. Some of you in Rhode Island. Some of you in the western part of the state, like Springfield. Now, this is the work of God. Is this a greater work than Jesus did? Well, I don't know, but I do know he has done this work in me, through me, and for me, so that you would hear the word of God. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. To ask in the name of Jesus, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, I have glorified it, and I will continue to glorify it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that people would snap on the radio today. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, for greater signs and wonders and a greater love for you in Jesus' name. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that many people would hear the word of God today, that you so loved them that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for them, and that he died and was buried and rose from the dead. Father, do what I can't do. I cannot change people's hearts. That is beyond my ability. I do not know how to change the heart. The only thing I can do by your grace is to speak your word. I cannot change hearts, but I know someone who can change hearts. And this is what we're going to talk about now, verse 15, chapter 14 of John. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter. So if he gives you another comforter, who's the first comforter? Jesus. The other comforter is who? The Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not and knows him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. Get this distinction, that the Holy Spirit dwells with you, but he shall be in you. When did he start being in them? When Jesus breathed on them on Easter morn and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So many Christians, Catholics, we have an orphan spirit, that we are orphans, and yet God says through the Bible and through his Son that those who believe in him are the children of God. We have Abba for a father. It is the Spirit that convinces us of that. Lord, we reject the orphan spirit that it's so many of us, that we think we're not worthy. Lord, you make us worthy through your blood. It's not our worthiness, Lord. You make us worthy through your blood. Someone came to me one day and said to me, I don't feel worthy to do thus and such. I said to the person, there's only one worthy one. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Hallelujah. At that day you shall know that I am in thy Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. Get that again. That I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Oh, Jesus, manifest yourself to us, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You said, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. We love you, Jesus. Therefore we are loved by the Father, and I will love him. Oh, and he loves us. Jesus loves us, and will manifest myself to him. Oh yes, you who love Jesus are loved by the Father, and Jesus will manifest his love to you. Yes, no more orphan spirit. You are not an orphan. You are a child of God, calling God Abba, Father, calling God Abba, Father. You are not an orphan. Jesus is the one who has broken the chains that have been on you. In the name of Jesus, I break the chains that are on you. In the name of Jesus, chains of fear, chains of hatred, chains of unforgiveness. Jesus breaks the chains, and we need to say amen to that. Amen. I do not want to be chained anymore. I once got a picture of our chains and what we were doing with them. We were kissing them like relics. We don't want the chains anymore. We want to be free. Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." No more chains. No more chains. No more chains. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Your home lesson today is the 14th chapter of St. John. Read it carefully and let it come into your heart. I need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.